It's 8 o'clock. You're listening to KVNF, Mountain Grown Community Radio. This is regional news for the Western Slope. I'm Travis Bubinik. Colorado's first historic day of recreational marijuana sales has come and gone, with little to no problems reported by law enforcement and officials, although there were some reports of people being cited for smoking in public. Over 30 shops opened their doors to lines of customers across the state on Wednesday. KOTO News was on the scene of one of the three shops that opened Wednesday morning in Telluride. The team brings us this report.
On the western slope in the town of Telluride, three shops were open for business, and the first sales were made early. By 9 a.m., there were lines at all three shops, with some people willing to wait up to 2 hours to make their purchases. The first customer at Alpine Wellness was San Miguel County Commissioner Art Goodtimes. The KOTO news team followed him through his transaction and later spoke with people waiting in line about what many consider a historic day in Colorado.
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Here to purchase?
I am here to purchase, yes.
Let me just see your driver's license, please, and I'll get you all checked in.
Okay. Hey, good morning.
Art, welcome.
Thank you so much. This is so exciting.
Yeah.
I've been waiting 47 years to do this. I can't believe it.
It's finally come.
You can legally purchase cannabis.
Yep. Welcome to Alpine Wellness.
What kind of things do you have to offer? Well, what should I be looking at here?
I've been waiting 47 years. What do you want? What are you looking for? Start with the Candyland.
Okay.
This is sativa dominant, very euphoric high.
So let's get, can we get a, what is it? You sell them at
16.
16.
Increments. So.
Okay, let's get one of those then.
This is Granddaddy Purple.
Let's try one of those then, too. Well, let's try a couple of the Gondola.
Yeah.
Try the strawberry lemonade and the watermelon.
I asked to be the first customer. I think it's very important that our leaders show that these substances are allies. They're not, shouldn't be demonized because they're natural plant substances that we use as allies. Not everybody wants to use them, and not everybody should. But those of us who find them useful in our lives, I want to make sure that we get out there and say that. You know, a lot of it is people are afraid to stick their necks out. So, you know, there are some issues in which I'd like to be a bridge between things, but there are some issues where I just think it's important for the culture that we stand up and say, you know, this is right and this is wrong.
2, 4, 6, 8, 10. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10.
Thank you, sir.
200 in cash. Wow, this is so exciting. I can't believe it.
What are you going to do next?
47 years. This is a long time to wait to be able to do this.
Are you guys from Telluride?
I'm not, but I've been coming here for the last 10 years.
Where do you live?
Indiana. I have family out here, and I've been riding this mountain for the last 10 years, the mountains around, and just decided I wanted to, you know, come out and share the experience now that I'm out here.
I'm from Brooklyn, New York, and I've been coming here for about 15 years now, and I didn't come out just for this reason, but I thought it was a cool kind of thing to be a part of and just history.
Okay, so it's like 9:30, 9:45. Mm-hmm. Did you guys specifically want to be the first customers in line?
I was actually expecting a much bigger line. I was expecting people to be camping out and just like the whole ordeal.
Do you guys know what you're going to get?
Just a 20 sack, just something to kind of relax with and enjoy. And like I said, I thought there was going to be a big line, so I didn't want to be anything, you know, real big.
Michelle Irwin Kirkwood, and I'm here working for the Telluride Green Room, and I'm totally humbled to be part of this huge piece of history.
Were there people here when you guys showed up this morning?
Well, we got here at 7, okay. And there was one guy here. He was number one.
Okay.
He was the first sale.
What's the atmosphere like?
Really happy, great. Everyone's really excited. Everyone's asking a lot of questions. A lot of people are from out of town. We have not seen many locals yet. They probably stayed up a little too late last night.
Oh, who's from Telluride? A couple people. Where are you from?
Chicago.
Are you here specifically for this?
No, I'm here to snowboard.
Okay, but you're up early and out at 9:30 in the morning, so what?
Historical. I'm 65 and many years in the coming. A lot of people fought hard for it.
And so you just wanted to be a part of history this morning?
And I enjoy the product. I'm going to get the highest THC they got.
Are you guys here for the revolution?
We're here for the radio station. Are you from Telluride?
Yes, I am.
What are you eating?
This is a bagel. I saw the line. I went to Baked in Telluride. I have to prepare the line. I don't want to go in there with an empty stomach.
Tell me a little bit about why you're in this line right now.
I'm trying to see if it's going to be worth my time and effort to go here versus going to my regular friend who can help me out. I want to see about the taxes. If they're taxing it more than what you can get through local growers, and that's going to be a big problem.
All three Telluride licensed retail marijuana shops say they are still busy the day after. Alpine Wellness estimates about 90% of customers on January 1st were from out of town. The Telluride Bud Company had customers from across the country and beyond, including from Peru. And Telluride Green Room owner Greg Viditz Ward says he is still recovering from what can only be described as an epic day. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, I'm Kara Pallone.
And in Denver, hundreds of people lined up outside of some newly licensed recreational pot stores on Wednesday. KGNU's Dave Ashton headed down to South Broadway in Denver on New Year's Day, and he found more than 800 people lined up outside one shop called Evergreen Apothecary.
13. ID?
On Denver's South Broadway, an area known for abundant dispensaries, recreational buyers were lined up deep and wide at Evergreen Apothecary, next door to longtime live music venue Herman's Hideaway. A colder-than-expected morning did nothing to chill the excitement of the purchase of legal weed, as the crowd spilled past velvet ropes and down the block, five deep across the sidewalk, bringing to mind a chairlift queue on a very busy day at a ski resort. Evergreen Apothecary staff scrambled to respond to the unexpected turnout, issuing numbers to potential customers like it was the DMV. While the armed security guard at the door called out for customer 215, numbers in the upper 700s were being distributed, along with the advice to return in a few hours.
We made certificates planning on 250 people, and I've given out cards now for 725 people, and there's no way we're going to get 725 people in here today, so we're trying to get as many people as we can in and out, but it's wild. So we've used a number system instead of having people wait in line. And so people are, you know, going and enjoying breakfast or lunch and coming back and still have their place in line, but it's been crazy.
Sounds really crazy. Can you give me your name and your position with
Heidi Morgan, and my husband and I started Evergreen Apothecary 4 years ago yesterday. Opened our first day.
How was your licensing process?
Miserable. Sucked.
Yeah.
I didn't go through this second round of it with the recreational side, so you'd have to talk to my husband about that. But it was the initial license application was, I tell you, almost to a point where we said we're going to not do this because it was so invasive. But
there are many places were listed today that are not actually open for recreational sales. How were you guys able to get it done?
I guess my husband and our business partner, Tim Cullen, had their acts together. And they went down the day that the first day we could turn in a license or an application for a recreational license. And they had everything in order and got it through. We have a second dispensary, and we just got the green light to be a recreational, to open actually today, and we decided not to. We got it last night.
You got it last night?
We got it last night, and we said there's no way. We're not going to force it, you know. So we're going to open that shop in about a week. I mean, it's open for medical, but for recreational, we're going to open it next Friday.
13. ID?
How does it feel to make a recreational purchase?
It feels amazing to be in there, just able to buy weed like that, you know. I love that. Just the limit how much we can buy kind of sucks at the time, but it's going good so far. I can't wait to get home and try it out, you know.
People with wheelchairs and canes stood next to New Year's revelers peering out from behind sunglasses. Many in the crowd sported weed-themed hats and shirts, with others decked out in a whole lot of green. A burrito cart kept the munchies from setting in, while people passed time inside Herman's with a beer and some tunes. Passing motorists honked and shouted in a celebratory fashion. Some snapped smiling photos to commemorate the occasion, marveling at the turnout. Due to sheer volume, many people hoping to purchase legal recreational marijuana on the first day may have to settle for making their purchase sometime in the first week.
So how do you feel about the first day of recreational marijuana sales?
I'm happier than the fat kid in the cake store. No, I'm really, really, it's surreal. You know, I was back smoking grass when I was a kid, just a little bit here and there. Never, ever thought Ever thought we'd walk down the street and see pot shops everywhere? I think it's pretty cool.
Awesome.
Yeah. That wasn't too exciting.
Are you willing to wait hours out here to get by some recreational weed?
We just wanted to come check it out because we've got weed at home, so we don't really need to. I'm not going to wait for 3 hours, I don't think, but it's cool to be out here in this festive atmosphere.
That was KGNU's Dave Ashton reporting from Denver for Rocky Mountain Community Radio. A total of 136 shops have so far been approved by the state of Colorado for recreational pot sales. A handful of those stores, however, haven't yet been approved by local authorities and won't be able to open until they are. Despite all the fanfare around marijuana legalization, a large number of cities and municipalities across the state have placed outright bans or moratoriums on the industry. Pot businesses have so far been temporarily or permanently banned in Crawford, Grand Junction, Gunnison, Montrose, Norwood, and Nucla, Paonia, and Ouray, among others. Voters in Ouray and Paonia will be deciding whether to allow the industry next November. Ridgeway, meanwhile, will allow recreational pot licenses to town, but only a limited number of them. A public defender is asking for a special prosecutor to take over a theft case in the 9th Judicial District. According to the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel, the case is being handled by District Attorney Sherry Kaloya, which the defense team says is problematic, since Kaloya is currently being sued by the town of Marble for her involvement in a separate embezzlement case from 2010. Marble is seeking damages from Kaloya, saying she didn't do enough to prevent former town clerk Karen Mulhall from embezzling over $300,000 from the town. The Daily Sentinel reports the defense in the recent theft case claims that Kaloya couldn't possibly handle it fairly, with that lawsuit still pending. And the San Miguel Power Association, DMEA, and other utilities are warning about possible scams targeting some customers in western Colorado. As the Watch newspaper reports, both co-ops were tipped off about the scams from customers who were reportedly receiving calls from people posing as co-op employees and threatening to shut off service if customers didn't send a payment immediately. Kevin Ritter, San Miguel's general manager, said in some cases caller IDs may even show up as coming from the utilities. A number of DMEA customers received scam calls from an 800 number over the weekend when the co-op's offices were closed. Officials say they don't ever call and threaten to disconnect customers immediately, and when they do have to disconnect services, it doesn't happen outside of regular business hours. For the latest edition of Western Slope Skies from the Black Canyon Astronomical Society, we'll learn about the bright stars of winter.
Gaze to the east at about 8 p.m. on a clear January evening and enjoy the bright and colorful stars of winter. A star chart, planisphere, or smartphone app may help you navigate. The centerpiece of our wintry celestial display is the constellation Orion, now well above the southeastern horizon. Orion has been perceived as a mythical hunter, with bright blue-white Rigel at his foot and bright reddish Betelgeuse at his left shoulder. A line of three moderately bright stars defines Orion's belt. If you extend a line through Orion's belt to the southeast, you'll find brilliant Sirius, the night sky's brightest star and one of our closest stellar neighbors. Rising in the east, you will see bright Procyon, another stellar neighbor. North from Orion shines brilliant Jupiter, the largest planet in our solar system, now shining four times brighter than Sirius. This winter, Jupiter is moving against the stars of constellation Gemini, just south of yellowish Pollux and white Castor. Very high in the eastern sky shine bright golden Capella in constellation Auriga and reddish Aldebaran in constellation Taurus. People often ask, why do the winter stars appear so bright? The answer is, because they are bright. During winter nights, we are looking along the local arm of our Milky Way galaxy, toward what astronomers call the Orion Complex. This is a group of bright and massive stars that have recently condensed from interstellar gas and dust that pervade our part of the galaxy. The colors of these stars indicate their temperatures. Red stars are cooler than our sun, whereas blue-white stars are hotter. You've been listening to Western Slope Skies, produced by members of the Black Canyon Astronomical Society. I'm Art Tribina.
You're listening to KVNF Mountain Grown Community Radio. This is regional news. For KVNF News, I'm Travis Bubinick.